Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading MRT for June 14th, 2024. EIA, Permian oil output to surge 8% in 2024, by Mela McEwen. Once again, the Permian Basin is expected to lead growth in the nation's overall oil production. Energy Information Administration forecasts that crude production from the Permian Basin will average about 6.3 million barrels per day this year, an increase of 8% over 2023, and accounting for nearly half of all crude production. Permian production will contribute about two-thirds of all U.S. oil production through the end of 2025, according to the EIA's June short-term energy outlook. The EIA expects increased production from the Permian, as well as other regions, will drive U.S. production to record highs in both 2024 and 2025. The Permian region's proximity to crude oil refining and export terminals on the Gulf Coast, established takeaway capacity, and improved new well productivity support crude oil production growth in the region, the EIA wrote in its June 2024 short-term energy outlook. Without a doubt, the mighty Permian Basin is the major factor that makes Texas the eighth largest economy in the world, Todd Staples, president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association, commented to the Reporter Telegram by email. The Permian Basin leads U.S. energy production single-handedly, contributing nearly 45% of domestic oil production thanks to its phenomenal reserves, private sector investment in infrastructure, and Texas's welcoming business climate that includes a stable regulatory environment, he continued. Staples added, "The West Texas spirit has taken this vast resource and persevered through difficult years to make the Permian Basin the most important basin in the world today, as it is producing record amounts of oil and natural gas that is fueling modern life here at home and around the world, all while making tremendous environmental progress. You do not have to live in the Permian Basin to benefit from the extraordinary contributions this region is making to fund public schools, universities, roads, and first responders." The EIA has expanded its short-term energy outlook forecast to include regional trends in the primary oil and natural gas production regions in the United States: Appalachia, Bakken, Eagle Ford, Haynesville, and Permian Basin. Incorporating regional forecasts of oil and natural gas production helps us tell a more comprehensive story of hydrocarbon production trends in the United States, said EIA Administrator Joe DeCarolis. "Consider the natural gas market, where we've seen prices decline far more rapidly than production. We knew that associated natural gas, which is produced as a byproduct of increasing crude oil production, was a driver of relatively stable natural gas production. Now our forecasts clearly show the important regional relationship of oil and natural gas production. EIA expects U.S. marketed natural gas production to decrease slightly, more than 1% in 2024, in response to low natural gas prices. Production is forecast to increase in the Permian, Bakken, and Eagle Ford regions this year, while declining in the other major producing regions." City sales tax collections hit record for April, by Trevor Hawes, editorial director. The City of Midland reports sales tax collections have reached an April record. According to a new release, the city collected $5.4 million in sales tax in April, the highest ever for that month, and a 1.8% increase over April 2023, when $5.3 million was collected. In April 2022, the city took in about $4.87 million. Sales tax is not just an important metric for economic activity, the city said. An increased amount of sales tax collected helps take the burden of funding city government off the property tax owners in Midland. Year-to-date, sales tax collections are slightly under the pace of 2023. So far, the city has collected $49.89 million. So far, the city has collected $49.89 million compared to $50.8 million at this time last year. Midland Development Corporation, the economic development organization funded by a quarter-cent sales tax, took in $1.35 million in April, and fiscal year-to-date collections are at about $12.47 million. Sales tax within the city is 8.25%, the maximum allowed by the state of Texas. A half cent is split between the Type A sales tax, which funds the MDC, and the Type B sales tax, which goes toward Midland Memorial Hospital. It's broken down as follows. State tax, 6.25%. City, 1%. County, 0.5%. Type A, MDC, 0.25%. Type B, MMH, 0.25%. The Texas Comptroller reports sales tax revenue 2 months lagging, thus April collections were reported in June. MISD, Midland College, collaborate for another workforce initiative by Ben Schaefer, staff writer. Midland College and Midland ISD launched College and Career Connections, C3, a collaboration that aims to instill college and career readiness in students starting at the sixth grade level. C3, according to Midland College, seeks to facilitate a smooth transition from high school to the various post-secondary education and career pathways available through Midland College and across the Permian. According to Midland College, students will be paired with a C3 coach who will guide and equip them with the necessary tools and support for a successful journey after high school, while MISD counselors will continue to provide comprehensive services to students across the district. C3 coaches will primarily focus on working with MISD students in grades 6 through 12, informing them and their families about dual credit and post-secondary pathways, options available to pay for college, and career opportunities in the Permian Basin and beyond. They will emphasize that post-secondary education options exist for every student, even if traditional college isn't their intended path. At MISD, our mission is that students will graduate college, career, or military ready, and C3 will be an integral part in helping make that a reality, MISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard stated. Through our collaboration with Midland College on the C3 initiative, we are committed to providing students with the tools and opportunities they need to excel beyond high school, and are grateful to our local philanthropic partners who have made this a possibility for our students. The C3 program will use Access, a cloud-based platform which gives MISD students customized career exploration and connections to resources, Midland College said. Students will be exposed to over 460 regional careers and over 11,000 West Texas career experts through Access. Midland College President Damon Kennedy shared that the initiative builds on the entity's continued focus on local workforce development and education in the Permian Basin. By empowering students to make well-informed decisions to navigate a path toward Midland College, higher education, and a broader professional landscape, we hope to address the workforce shortage and educational attainment gap present in the Permian Basin, Kennedy said. The C3 initiative is also a collaboration with local philanthropic partners, Abel Hanger Foundation, Diamondback Energy, the Faskin Foundation, Henry Foundation, McGarry Reagan Foundation, Prevhouse Family Foundation, Scarborough Foundation, and Warren Charitable Foundation. The primary objective of C3 is to ensure that students are well prepared for success in college and their professional lives, Lori Haltom, executive director of the C3 program, said. We see this as an evolving collaboration that provides the resources needed to guarantee Midland students make a purposeful transition from high school to college, the workforce, or military service. Two Texas men get prison for Iranian oil scheme by BK Richter. Two Texas men, both of whom were convicted at trial, were sentenced Tuesday to more than 3 years in prison for attempting to violate the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, or IEEPA, conspiracy to violate IEEPA, and conspiracy to commit money laundering. According to court documents, Xinyu Bill Wang, 43, a Chinese citizen, and Daniel Ray Lane, 42, of McKinney, Texas, schemed with conspirators to evade U.S. economic sanctions against the Islamic Republic of Iran from July 2019 to February 2020 by facilitating the purchase of sanctioned oil from Iran, masking its origins, and selling the oil under masked origins to buyers in the People's Republic of China. To accomplish their goal, the conspirators communicated among themselves and with third parties. Both Texas men are said to have concealed the origin of the oil and the overall illegal transaction, financing the transaction, as well as preparing contracts and other documents needed to effect the sale. In addition, the two are said to have shipped and sanctioned Iranian oil while obtaining Antiguan passports needed to facilitate the transaction and to have established offshore bank accounts to receive funds. Wang and Lane are said to have also distributed proceeds from the intended sale of the sanctioned Iranian oil, all while concealing and disguising the nature, location, source, ownership, and control of the proceeds of the intended transaction. Today, Mr. Lane and Mr. Wang are held accountable for attempting to broker illicit oil sales between Iran and China and launder the proceeds in violation of U.S. sanctions, said Assistant Attorney General Matthew G. Olson of the Justice Department's National Security Division. The court's sentence makes clear that those who place personal profit over national security will face serious consequences. Wang, Lang, and their co-conspirators scheme to make millions also would have enriched Iran, one of our government's foreign adversaries, in direct contravention of measures meant to protect American interest and national security, said U.S. Attorney Jacqueline C. Romero from the Eastern District of Pennsylvania. According to the U.S. Attorney General's office, Wang said, to have played a critical role in the conspiracy, providing the connection to the Chinese buyers who would purchase the Iranian oil. As part of his involvement, Wang communicated with multiple parties in China, secured a written offer from a Chinese buyer, and brokered a contract of sale with this buyer. Wang also arranged for the bribe payments to be made to Chinese officials to facilitate the illegal transaction. Meanwhile, Lane agreed to help launder the Iranians' proceeds from the transaction. Officials say he offered to use the mineral rights that he sold through his business, stack royalties, to conceal the Iranians' profits, and even purchased a cash machine to count the millions of dollars of laundered proceeds quickly. Wang and Lane both worked with three other conspirators who acted as intermediaries seeking buyers for the sanctioned oil. The three other conspirators believed that they would profit handsomely from the scheme to evade U.S. sanctions through significant shipments of sanctioned Iranian oil. They planned to start their scheme with a 500,000-barrel shipment of Iranian oil, but intended to increase the shipments to 1 or 2 million barrels per month for a year or more. Lane and another co-conspirator understood that the scheme was to be funded by an initial $5 million payment, which would include $4 million provided in cash. The conspirators also believed that they would make significant profits, with Wang stating that he planned to make $1.5 million in profit for each 500,000-barrel shipment. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office, Wang and Lane acted fully aware that the scheme to sell sanctioned Iranian crude oil violated U.S. sanctions against Iran. Both defendants made statements explicitly acknowledging that their conduct was illegal. Wang, for example, acknowledged the profits he stood to make by engaging in illegal transactions, stating that "I love sanctions, to be honest with you, and the sanctions make everybody money." Similarly, Lane discussed concealing and disguising the proceeds of the transactions in sanctioned Iranian oil, noting that sanctions can always be massaged. You know, there's always a way around it. In January 2024, Wang and Lane's co-conspirator, Nicholas Hovan was sentenced to 12 months and one day in prison. Hovan's co-conspirators, Nicholas Fuchs and Robert Twaits, were each sentenced to 10 months in prison. The FBI investigated the case. Assistant U.S. Attorneys Patrick J. Murray and Mary E. Crawley for the Eastern District of Pennsylvania prosecuted the case with assistance provided by trial attorney Beau Barnes of the National Security Division's Counterintelligence and Export Control Section. Body of man found on Midland County Trail by B.K. Richter, staff writer. The body of a 73-year-old man was found at a Midland County jogging trail, according to a press release from the Brazos County Sheriff's Office. The Brazos County Sheriff's Office would like to thank the Midland County Sheriff's Office, Texas Department of Public Safety, and the New Mexico State Police for their assistance, the release said. The man was identified as Troy Luce. A silver alert had been issued for him due to a cognitive impairment. He was last seen in Bryan on Saturday. Luce's disappearance and death are currently under investigation. The Midland County Sheriff's Office advised that patrol deputies were dispatched June 11th to the 2100 block of Market Street. This is Christy, and I'll be reading Permian Proud. Hype for rodeo grows with new banners along U.S. 285. A simple drive through the town of Pecos City is enough to know the city's hyped up for its big rodeo. The city recently completed installation of new banners along U.S. Highway 285, prompting this year's West of the Pecos Rodeo. The famous event, dating back to 1883, runs from Wednesday, June 26th through Saturday, June 29th at Buck Jackson Arena. Per usual, the rodeo is jam-packed with action. Each of the 9 events sanctioned by the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association, PRCA, offers 2 sections of bull riding and 1 section of bareback riding, saddle bronc riding, calf roping, team roping, steer wrestling, and women's barrel racing. Prices vary by performance from $9 to $15. The event kickstarts with the West of the Pecos Team Roping Classic on Saturday, June 22nd. Then on Wednesday, June 26th, the rodeo parade begins at 10 a.m., followed by the Reeves County Sheriff's Posse Barbecue at noon. The first performance of the West of the Pecos Rodeo at 8 p.m., June 26th. The finals will occur Saturday, June 29th, but there are many activities before then to see that they are not mentioned here. The finals will occur Saturday, June 29th, but there are many activities before that are not mentioned here. Check out the schedule and more information at the West of the Pecos Rodeo's website and Facebook page. As the story goes, the annual rodeo dates back to 1883 when cowboys challenged each other to a roping contest, since bragging could not determine who was truly best. Word spread about the competition, which took place on the flatland west of the river, roughly at the site of the present courthouse and law enforcement buildings. Today, West of the Pecos Rodeo is one of the PRCA's top 40 prize money rodeos and known as the oldest event in the sport. About a decade ago, the rodeo was nominated by PRCA cardholders and cowboys as one of the 5 best large outdoor rodeos in the nation. The rodeo also receives among the greatest community support. A lengthy list of local and national companies sponsor the event, from banks and supermarkets to energy companies. Among the event's largest sponsors this year are Chevron, Zubeldia Energy, Thunder Horse Automation, Permian Resources, Waterbridge Operating, Jones Family Inc., CTG Energy, and Infinium. Listen to this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas at www.recordinglibrary.org livestream. How technology unlocked the Permian Basin's potential. Nicole Champenoy recalls assessing the Permian Basin's potential about a decade ago when the oil and gas industry was facing a years-long challenge. Vast amounts of oil remained beneath the surface, but figuring out a way to release it was proving difficult. The oil was trapped in dense rock, and technologies at the time weren't sophisticated enough to recover it economically. It was a bit of a tease, said Champenoy, shale and tight asset class director at Chevron. We knew the oil was there, but the industry didn't know how to get it out of the ground. The use of hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling have helped the Permian Basin become one of the world's leading oil production sites. Advancements in technology help teams like Champenoy's overcome obstacles and transform production in the Permian Basin. These innovative techniques included horizontal drilling, which involves drilling down through thousands of feet of ground before switching directions and moving sideways to reach the targeted oil reserve. Hydraulic fracturing, which involves injecting fluids into the underground rock at pressures high enough to create fractures. This opens pathways in the rock that allow oil and gas to flow. The combination of these techniques turned the Permian Basin, which had been declining for more than 30 years, into one of the world's most prolific sites. The Permian Basin has become the gift that just keeps giving, said Champenoy. Today, Chevron embraces a factory approach to drilling wells in the Permian Basin. This approach has been proven to be consistent, repeatable, and fast. Chevron drills a series of horizontal wells in a single well pad and completes them using hydraulic fracturing. This model helps prioritize the most promising opportunities, lowers drilling cost, cuts the time from start to drilling to first production, and increases the number of wells that each rig drills. It has tripled the pace of Chevron's drilling program. On the safety front, Chevron aims to prevent fatalities, serious injuries, and illnesses across its operations. Looking ahead, Chevron set a quarterly record during the last year's fourth quarter, with the Permian Basin reaching 867,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day. The company now seeks to better understand how to improve secondary recovery techniques, like gas and chemical injection, which can produce even more oil and gas after the initial recovery process. Increasing production beyond what we are doing today is a complex problem, and it is very rewarding to be part of this journey. Champenoy said, the idea of continuing to innovate to grow production in the Permian Basin excites Champenoy. We've come so far in the past decade, but we have so much ahead of us, she said. It's an awesome time to be working in shale. Listen to this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org livestream. Application deadline approaches for Midland College Mental Health Technician Program, June 12, 2024, by staff report. The application deadline is fast approaching for the Midland College Mental Health Technician Program, a first-of-its-kind effort to fill a critical need for mental health professionals in West Texas. Interested individuals have until Monday, July 22nd, to apply. The two-semester program is designed to prepare students to work in both inpatient and outpatient settings in the Permian Basin. The first 20 accepted applicants will participate in the program for free thanks to scholarships. Earning a mental health technician certificate opens up the opportunity to be placed at the upcoming Permian Basin Behavioral Health Center, where participants will serve as the eyes and ears of the inpatient facility, transporting patients, assisting with psychotherapy encounters, engaging in crisis de-escalation, and having regular interactions with the patients, according to Midland College. This certificate program is a really important and innovative initiative that is a part of Midland College's larger workforce development that we are creating for the Behavioral Health Center, said Dr. Stephanie Caples, Director of Behavioral Health at Midland College. The application process for the Mental Health Technician program is simple. Apply to Midland College, complete the Health Sciences General application, and submit transcripts to the MC Registrar. To be considered for the admission, you must be 18 years old by September 1st, have a high school diploma or GED, have a negative result on a 10-panel drug screen, maintain current health insurance coverage throughout the program, and have a required Title 25 Texas Administrative Code S9764 and clinical affiliate immunizations.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, June 10th. ECISD marks are in for STAR tests. The Texas Education Agency on Friday released the Spring 2024 State of Texas Assessments of Academic Readiness, or STAR, End of Course Assessment Results. These results, a key measure of student performance and academic readiness, include Algebra 1, English 1, English 2, Biology, and U.S. History assessments. Hector County ISD students were generally below state levels, but in some areas like U.S. History, not by much. The details can be confusing, But ECISD Chief Communications Officer Mike Adkins said, and the accountability system approaches is the passing mark. In other words, approaches means passed, and anything below is failing. The numbers. For all students in Ector County ISD in Algebra 1 for spring 2024, 69% passed and 31% failed. At the state level in spring 2024, 79% passed. In biology for ECISD, 87% passed and 13% failed. At the state level, 91% passed. For ECISD in English 1, 50% passed and 50% failed. At the state level in English 1 for spring 2024, 67% passed. ECISD's English 2 had 59% passing and 41% failing, and the state had 74% passing. ECISD students in U.S. history had 90% passing, 10% failing. At the state level, 95% passed. ECISD's Algebra 1 in spring 2023 had 70% passing. ECISD's biology in spring 2023 had a pass rate of 83%. For English 1 in spring 2023, ECISD had 60% passing, and in English 2, had 59% passing. U.S. history results from spring 2023 had 89% passing. A TEA news release said, as of June 7th, parents and families can view their child's individual STAR EOC results by visiting their school district's family portal or TexasAssessment.gov using the unique access code provided by their child's school. This year's EOC results show that performance has largely held steady. The percentage of students meeting grade level remained consistent in Algebra 1, Biology, and English 2. In English 2, there was a 4% increase in the percentage of students meeting grade level, reaching 60%. In U.S. history, there was a 2% decrease in the percentage of students meeting grade level, from 71% to 69%. One highlight from this year's EOC results is the increase in the percentage of emergent bilingual students who met grade level across all EOC assessments. Emergent bilingual students saw an increase in English 1 and 2, rising 4 percentage points in grade level proficiency. This improvement is particularly significant as it represents a substantial population of students, with 24% of Texas's 5.5 million public school students classified as emergent bilingual. An EB student is defined as a student who is in the process of acquiring English and has another language as the primary language. Texas public schools continue to serve one of the largest populations of EB students in the country. Quote, the 2024 STAR end-of-course results highlight both the progress Texas students and educators have made and the challenges that remain to help students improve outcomes, which can only come from a robust assessment and accountability system. While we celebrate the gains in English 2, we must also acknowledge the areas where student performance has not recovered to pre-pandemic levels, Texas Education Commissioner Mike Moreth said in a news release. Continuing the quote, these results emphasize the critical importance of continued investment in research-based education strategies to ensure every student in Texas has the support and resources they need to succeed. Our commitment to improving educational outcomes remains steadfast, and we will keep working tirelessly to provide high-quality education for all Texas students." End quote. For a more detailed statewide summary of the spring 2024 EOC results, visit 2024 STAR EOC Analysis. Parents and families are encouraged to log in to their school district's family portal or TexasAssessment.gov to view their child's individual STAR EOC results. STAR assessments are a valuable tool in evaluating how students are performing in Texas classrooms. The detailed STAR report card provides parents with understandable information, including each STAR question and answer, along with their child's answers, that helps them support their children in class and at home. STAR results can help parents know how well their child learned this year's academic material and whether their child is on track for success in future grades and after graduation. STAR aggregate level data by state, region, district, or campus is available to view and download on the Texas Assessment Research Portal. Results for STAR grades 3 through 8 assessments will be made publicly available June 14th. On that date, parents and families can view their child's individual 3 through 8 results using the unique access code provided by their child's school or by logging into their school system's family portal. Alzheimer's Awareness Month. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. Some people call Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia the long goodbye because they are conditions that can last for years, and sometimes the person suffering from those conditions loses their memory of their loved ones long before their bodies stop functioning. When I try to explain Alzheimer's to others, I usually call it the forgetting disease, because people with Alzheimer's tend to forget things in the reverse order that they learned them. That means they tend to forget the most recent things first, and the last things they forget are the first things they learned, how to walk, talk, and even eat and breathe. The long goodbye, or the forgetting disease, is a nice way of putting a process that is incredibly difficult for patients and families. That is why awareness is so important. Alzheimer's and dementia symptom progression can be delayed when they are found early, and even better, according to the Alzheimer's Association, scientists feel that they are very close to finding a cure. The Alzheimer's Association has published a list of 10 early signs and symptoms of Alzheimer's and dementia on their website. Those early signs are 1. Memory loss that disrupts daily life. 2. Challenges in planning or solving problems. 3. Difficulty completing familiar tasks. 4. Confusion with time or place. 5. Trouble understanding visual images and spatial relationships. 6. New problems with words in speaking or writing. 7. Misplacing things and losing the ability to retrace steps. 8. Decreased or poor judgment. 9. Withdrawal from work or social activities. 10. Changes in mood and personality. Please go to their website for more details, because they not only talk about early symptoms, but how to distinguish those symptoms from normal aging. The site also has information about what to do if you see these issues in yourself or others. A good first step is to have a conversation with your primary healthcare provider if you are concerned about Alzheimer's or dementia. There are things you can do to lower risk of decreasing mental capacity and possibly prevent or delay Alzheimer's and dementia. The Alzheimer's Association suggests these 10 healthy habits for your brain. 1. Challenge your mind. I have no research-driven proof, but I firmly believe that people who do nothing but sit in front of a TV all day eventually get dementia. I've seen more times than I can count when people stop learning or being creative, their brains stop retaining information. Research does show that people who challenge their minds have many short and long-term benefits in brain health. So, challenge your mind and try to learn a new skill or focus on a hobby or other activity that allows you to be creative. 2. Stay in school. Education reduces the risk of dementia, so encourage kids to stay in school and get the highest level training they can. Continue to be a lifelong learner by taking classes to enhance your skills or learn new ones. You can find classes at low cost or even free at libraries, community colleges, or online. 3. Get moving. Regular exercise increases the blood flow to your brain. You can build exercise into your day by parking farther away in parking lots and walking, taking a dance break, gardening, even adding things into the challenge your mind and stay in school points by taking a class where you learn a new form of exercise like yoga or tai chi. 4. Protect your head. Wear helmets for biking or skating, and wear a seatbelt when you are in a vehicle. Use protective equipment when engaging in sports. Do what you can to prevent falls, especially in older adults. 5. If you smoke, stop. Quitting smoking reduces the risk of dementia, and it's never too late to stop. 6. Control your blood pressure. 7. Manage diabetes. 8. Eat right. A diet high in fruits and vegetables with lean proteins and limited fats and processed foods can reduce the risk of mental decline and dementia. 9. Maintain a healthy weight. This, as well as eating right, controlling blood pressure, and exercise, not only reduces your risk of dementia, but many other conditions, such as heart disease, kidney disease, cancer, and stroke, just to name a few. 10. Sleep well. A healthy sleep routine can reduce the risk of mental decline. If you have sleep-related conditions, such as snoring or sleep apnea, speak to your healthcare provider about how treating those conditions can improve your sleep and overall health. This month, talk to your loved ones about steps you can take to improve your brain health and reduce your risk of Alzheimer's and dementia. If you have concerns or questions or want more information, the Alzheimer's Association website is a great place to start, but don't stop there. Talk to your primary healthcare provider about the right steps for you to keep a healthy brain. Master gardeners say, save the date. Fall plant sale is September 14th. The story was written by Emmy Almschneider and Debbie Rowland, master gardeners. The dog days of summer are upon us. If you bought native plants at the Permian Basin Master Gardener Plant Sale in April, hopefully they are in the ground and thriving. But even in the dog days of summer, it is not too early to start planning for the PBMG Plant Sale this fall, September 14, 2024. The sale will again feature native plants. Fall is the best time to plant natives or sow native wildflower seeds. We have covered sowing native wildflower seeds before on our website, westtexasgardening.org. By hosting a native plant sale in the fall, we are following a long-established tradition. Each fall, the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center hosts their fall plant sale. Last year, this month-long native plant sale ran from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Fridays to Sundays from the end of September through the end of October. Think of fall as the start of a plant year. As the See Below Nature Center has said, fall in Texas is the second spring. Why is fall the best time to plant natives? From a native plant point of view, it is easier to become established in the fall. During the dormant fall season, conditions are perfect to encourage underground root growth. So, your plant is ready to bounce into spring with a healthy root system ready to support vigorous new growth. Planting in the fall also gives you time to prepare and organize for the start of the next growing season. Winter is the perfect time to sharpen, clean, and maintain tools. When spring returns, you can be outside to enjoy the beauty and life of a spring garden and welcome back old favorite plants or new arrivals. To prepare for the plant sale and to introduce some of the native plants that you might want to try in your landscape, we are going to profile some native plants. So, meet Rock Rose, Pavonia lasiopetala, the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center 2024 Wildflower of the Year. Rock Rose, a small perennial shrub in the mallow family, is indeed a standout because of its color, hardiness, and versatility. A Texas native, it is found from the Edwards Plateau south into the Trans-Pecos. It will adapt to a wide range of soils, but does best on well-drained limestone soils. A low-water user, Pavonia grows in sun to part shade, thrives in summer heat, and is easy to grow. The brilliant pink and yellow hibiscus-like flowers tell you it is the mallow family, and their beauty always makes me smile. Best of all, Pavonia supports our native bees, birds, butterflies, moths, and small mammals who uses its flowers and seed resources. Be on the lookout for Rock Rose or Pavonia, the Lady Bird Johnson 2024 Wildflower of the Year, and we will see you at the PBMG Fall Plant Sale September 14th. If you have questions, call the AgriLife office in Odessa at 498-4071 or in Midland at 686-4700. Additional information and our blog for access to past articles is available at westtexasgardening.org. Click on Resources.
Research. New research explores how space tourism affects humans. Dallas. Space tourists experience some of the same body changes as astronauts who spend months in orbit, according to new studies published Tuesday. Those shifts mostly returned to normal once the amateurs returned to Earth, researchers reported. Research on four space tourists is included in a series of studies on the health effects of space travel, down to the molecular level. The findings paint a clearer picture of how people who don't undergo years of astronaut training adapt to weightlessness and space radiation, the researcher said. Quote, "This will allow us to be better prepared when we're sending humans into space for whatever reason," end quote, said Alan Liu, a mechanical engineering professor at the University of Michigan, who was not involved with the research. NASA and others have long studied the toll of space travel on astronauts, including year-long residents of the International Space Station. But there's been less attention on space tourists. The first tourist visit to the space station was in 2001, and opportunities for private space travel have expanded in recent years. A three-day chartered flight in 2021 gave researchers the chance to examine how quickly the body reacts and adapts to spaceflight. said Susan Bailey, irradiation expert at Colorado State University who took part in the research. While in space, the four passengers on the SpaceX flight, dubbed Inspiration 4, collected samples of blood, saliva, skin, and more. Researchers analyzed the samples and found wide-ranging shifts in cells and changes to the immune system. Most of these shifts stabilized in the months after the four returned home, and the researchers found that the short-term spaceflight didn't pose significant health risks. Quote, "This is the first time we've had a cell-by-cell examination of a crew when they go to space," end quote, said researcher and co-author Chris Mason with Weill Cornell Medicine. The papers, which were published Tuesday in Nature Journals and are now part of a database, include the impact of spaceflight on the skin, kidneys, and immune system. The results could help researchers find ways to counteract the negative effects of space travel, said Afshin Beheshti, a researcher with the Blue Marble Space Institute of Science who took part in the work. Home care. Right at Home hopes to expand Midland. Right at Home, an in-home care company for seniors and adults with disabilities, is eyeing Midland for expansion. Right at Home provides companion care, personal care, and in some locations, specialized nursing services. Companion care consists of a caregiver assisting a patient by keeping them company, taking them to appointments, housekeeping, and visiting. Personal services are more hands-on, helping a patient with bathing, resting, eating, and more. While Right at Home cares for seniors, their care also expands to disabled adults of all ages over 18. This includes Midlanders over 18 with a disability, as well as those who may have just had surgery and need assistance in their recovery. Right at Home discussed the reasoning for Midland expansion and a growing trend of seniors opting out of traditional nursing, retirement homes. Following the COVID-19 pandemic, according to Right at Home, they saw a 40% growth increase due to seniors and others choosing to stay at home. Quote, "When people reach a certain age, I don't know of anyone that has ever said, like, I cannot wait to get to a nursing home," end quote, VP of Franchise Development Jennifer Cheney said. Quote, "People really want to age gracefully in place, in their home, in the place where they feel the most comfortable and provide the sense of independence and comfort," end quote. With an aging population of 32,000 seniors in the area, Right at Home wants to bring these services to Midland. With a plan to open a, quote, territory, end quote, in Midland, Right at Home will need many caregivers. Despite a nationwide shortage, Right at Home provides its owners with tools and resources to recruit and retain caregivers, as well as providing proper training for prospective caregivers. Quote, "We have a lot of training and tools and resources in place. If somebody applies to become a caregiver, we will make sure that they are properly trained so that we can carry on the best-in-class care that Right at Home does provide," end quote, Cheney said. According to Right at Home, the Midland location would have to find office space in the area that would house office staff, train caregivers, and more. As soon as an agreement is signed, Right at Home hopes to start up operation within 4 to 6 months or sooner if possible. Alzheimer's drug backed by FDA advisors. Washington. A closely watched Alzheimer drug from Eli Lilly won the backing of federal health advisors on Monday, setting the stage for the treatment's expected approval for people with mild dementia caused by the brain-robbing disease. Food and administration advisors voted unanimously that the drug's ability to slow the disease outweighs its risks, including side effects like brain swelling and bleeding that will have to be monitored. Quote, "I thought the evidence was very strong in the trial showing the effectiveness of the drug," end quote, said panel member Dean Fullman, a National Institutes of Health statistician. The FDA will make the final decision on approval later this year. If the agency agrees with the panel's recommendation, the drug, donanemab, would only be the second Alzheimer's drug cleared in the U.S. that's been shown to convincingly slow cognitive decline and memory problems due to Alzheimer's. The FDA approved a similar infused drug, Leqembi, from Japanese drug maker Eisai last year. The slowdown seen with both drugs amounts to several months, and experts disagree on whether patients or their loved ones will be able to detect the difference. but Lilly's approach to studying its once-a-month treatment prompted questions from FDA reviewers. Patients in the company study were grouped based on their levels of a brain protein called tau that predicts severity of cognitive problems. That led FDA to question whether patients might need to be screened via brain scans for tau before getting the drug. But most panelists thought there was enough evidence of the drug's benefit to prescribe it broadly, without screening for the protein. Quote, imposing a requirement for tau imaging is not necessary and would raise serious practical and access concerns to the treatment, end quote, said Dr. Thomas Montine of Stanford University, who chaired the panel and summarized its opinion. At a high level, Lilly's results mirrored those of Leqembi, with both medications showing a modest slowing of cognitive problems in patients with early-stage Alzheimer's. The Indianapolis-based company conducted a 1,700-patient study showing patients who received monthly IV infusions of its drug declined about 35% more slowly than those who got a sham treatment. The FDA had been widely expected to approve the drug in March, but instead the agency said it would ask its panel of neurology experts to publicly review the company's data, an unexpected delay that surprised analysts and investors. Several unusual approaches in how Lilly tested its drug led to the meeting. One change was measuring patients' tau and excluding patients with very low or no levels of the protein. But panelists said there was enough data from other measures to feel confident that nearly all patients could benefit from the drug, regardless of their levels. In another key difference, Lilly studied taking patients off its drug when they reached very low levels of amyloid, a sticky brain plaque that's a contributor to Alzheimer's. Lilly scientists suggested stopping treatment is a key advantage of its drug, which could reduce side effects and costs. But FDA staff said Lilly provided little data supporting the optimal time to stop or how quickly patients might need to restart treatment. Despite those questions, many panelists thought the possibility of stopping doses held promise. Quote, it's a huge cost savings for the society. We're talking about expensive treatment, expensive surveillance, end quote, said Dr. Tanya Simunai of Northwestern University. She and other experts said patients would need to be tracked and tested to see how they fare and whether they need to resume treatment. The main safety issue with donanemab was brain swelling and bleeding, a problem common to all amyloid-targeting drugs. Most cases identified in Lilly's trial were mild. Three deaths in the donanemab study were linked to the drug, according to the FDA, all involving brain swelling or bleeding. One of the deaths was caused by a stroke, a life-threatening complication that occurs more frequently among Alzheimer's patients. Cancer. Types of brain tumors and treatments. A brain tumor can significantly affect a person's quality of life, not just length of life. In 2023, approximately 25,000 people were living in the U.S. were diagnosed with a brain tumor. There are different types of brain tumors and ways to treat them that a healthcare team may consider. Primary brain tumors are those that originate in the brain, like glioblastoma, meningioma, or others. Metastatic brain tumors originate in other parts of the body but migrate to the brain or spinal cord. Quote, patients that present with brain tumors can present sometimes with a long history of headaches, and the headaches, instead of improving, keep getting worse and worse, end quote, says Dr. Alfredo Quinones Hianoso, a neurosurgeon at Mayo Clinic. Seizures and sudden collapse are other symptoms of brain tumors that warrant immediate medical attention. Diagnosis requires brain imaging with an MRI brain scan and an exam by a neurologist or neurosurgeon. Quote, the treatment of brain tumor is a combination of first, the diagnosis, second, a multidisciplinary discussion, end quote, says Quinones Hianoso. Quote, and all together we have a discussion and we try to implement a therapy and a management that is personalized for that patient, end quote. Quinones Hianoso says treatment can include surgery, chemotherapy, radiation therapy, or a combination. For surgical removal of a brain tumor, he explains that a patient may remain awake depending on the location of the tumor and symptoms. Quote, if they're near speech or motor function, we can map those regions of the brain, end quote, says Quinones Hianoso. quote, we can keep the patient awake and do very significant and safe resections, end quote.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report on the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, June 8th. Drones play expanding role in oil field operations. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Drones are becoming ever-present in society, part of everything from law enforcement to real estate, photography to site inspections. Drones, formerly known as unmanned aerial vehicles, are increasingly becoming ever-present in Permian Basin oil fields as well. Now, Midlander Dan Shantz, co-owner of Venture Robotics, is training drone pilots for energy companies. A licensed Federal Aviation Administration Part 107 instructor, Shantz noted that companies like Chevron often have their own internal group of pilots, while others contract out drone services. But, he said, they need someone to help navigate a constantly changing landscape. Drones are changing in size and adding new features, he said, and regulations are changing to accommodate those changes. For example, Shantz said, the FAA is requiring the drones to have transponders. Still, he said, drone use, quote, is still not to its maximum capacity. People are now realizing what they can do. The technology is to the point where it can be trusted, end quote. Drones are increasingly used to measure for greenhouse gas emissions, which Shantz calls huge, but also the most expensive. It requires calibrating laser sensors to measure emissions and search for leaks. They can scan tank batteries for real-time monitoring that allows leaks to be repaired before they become significant problems. There are companies that act as first responders for leaks and utilize drone data to gauge and assess the leaks and determine where to shut off the leaks. Other groups use drones to scan wind turbines to determine when the blades or engine housings are starting to fracture. Quote, it's the first step in preventative measures, he said. Their use is being expanded, he added, to include surveys and data collection. The data can be stored on the drone's batteries and then downloaded and analyzed. That can be beneficial in remote areas, he said, saving millions in infrastructure construction costs and providing data when transmission lines are down, say, during a storm. Quote, the other big thing is security, tracking who's in a facility, who's outside a facility, Shantz said. Drones fitted with thermal cameras or cameras with zoom capabilities can help identify certain pieces of equipment to ensure they are where they are supposed to be or if they've been moved. Advancing technology lets drones operate further away. Take the typical hydraulic fracturing job, for example, Shantz said. Quote, you're going to be inside watching the instruments. There's no way to see what's happening outside. A drone can be 150 feet away, and the operator can watch the operations on closed-circuit television. It's a bird's-eye view of operations, end quote. But these users require trained pilots, and Shantz decided to approach Midland College about a drone program to gauge interests. The concern was there was no set standard for how a pilot is supposed to fly a drone, so he created a course where would-be pilots could get started. Quote, I start with a simulation, then we move on to the smaller drones, he said. They behave the same way as larger drones. I tell students, this is what you need to know or you'll be in trouble. The newest thing I've learned is drop control. I teach them to stick with the controls, end quote. It is pilot licensing, he said, with drone pilots required to earn the FAA Remote Pilot Certificate, also known as the FAA Part 107 license. Not only does he teach them the procedures and best practices to operate drones safely and legally, he teaches the regulations involved and what to expect in taking the certification test. Quote, it is a pilot's license, and you are required to log what you do. The FAA is now also asking for more specifics in what you do. End quote.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.